Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. All this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You may be seated.
I understand if I take two or three sips, it's a long sermon. If I take one sip, it's a short one. We'll see. I have been fighting allergies the last couple of weeks, and this is the first day I have not been hacking continuously. So if I skip the hacking, Michael will turn down the mic so that I won't blow you out. This is a great day to start the new year, one day after the new year, and I see a lot of happy faces in here. I see new grandmothers. I see newlyweds, Rachel, and of course, Miss Becky over here, new grandmother. I see parents with kids here today. I see kids with parents here today. There's a lot of good things happening right now. And what a better place to begin or to start a Sunday is in the worship in the house of the Lord. And so we come together this morning to worship the living God, not to worship one another, but to enjoy one another as we worship together. Now, tell a little story here. When I was a child, the only race I attended was the race when it said, come and get it. And I ran quickly to the table to sit in my usual spot with the idea that we'd hurry up and say the prayer, and they would be able to grab the food on the table. Now, I need to explain something to you. I grew up on ranches when I was a kid. So from the time I was born, if you will, until I married Sandy a long time ago, 40 years ago, I'll tell her that, I lived on ranches. Now, that meant that probably every day, every dinner time, we called it supper in Texas. If you ate at 6 o'clock, it means supper time. We always had some type of red meat, whether it be meatloaf, it could be steak, it could be chicken fried steak. We had some type of red meat, except on Sunday. Sunday was fried chicken or roast beef. And I don't know if you remember, some of you youngsters in here will not remember that we used to fight over the piece of meat that had the wishbone in it. Remember the wishbone? You got that piece and you went to the person next to you and you took that because it looked like the wishbone, you broke it. Supposedly, if you had the bigger end of the wishbone, you had good things come your way. I don't see the wishbone anymore in the chicken. Okay? We don't cut chicken that way. Also, because I lived on ranches, one of my duties is when I was in junior high and high school is get up early and I had to go milk a cow. And so from Monday through Saturday, we had to drink milk. Sunday, we got to have tea. And so Sunday, when they said, come and get it, I ran for the meal, which probably was fried chicken or maybe even roast beef, because that was a little bit longer in cooking than the other red meat. And we got to have sweet tea. Now, we didn't have sweeteners. So most of the time we had a little bit of tea with our sugar. You know, I had that much sugar in the bottom of the glass, stirred it, and made sure it was nice and sweet, because that's the only time we got to have tea. So understand, race has a different concept to me. Race was to the dinner table when I was a kid. When you have three siblings and mom and dad, there was always a race for the wishbone. Now, we need to understand here in the scripture, we're going to pray here. Let me pray first, and then we'll begin looking at the scripture. Father, as we pause right now to enjoy your word, I pray, Father, that this word will be penetratable to our hearts, and that would we glean from the truth of your word things that will be applicable to our lives, that we would understand that your words are not just words on a page, but words on a page that will direct and keep us. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to be present. And I pray, Father, for your word to be true to the hearts that receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you put on sunglasses during the service, I will understand that, because I know the sun's probably going to be glaring here a little bit. I did shave this morning. And so if you need to put on some sunglasses, that'll be fine. Now, we read some extra passages or verses this morning. In the bulletin it said verses 24 through 27. But we actually went back to verses 19 through 27. And just shout out the answer. How did Jesus primarily teach during his ministry? He used what form? Parables. Okay? He taught with parables. If we go back and look at the previous verses to look at 19 and through 24, we saw that Paul desired to relate to the people he was with in the stages of where their life was. If it was a Jew, he wanted to teach like a Jew. If it was a person under the law, he wanted to teach like a person under the law. If it was a person not under the law, he wanted to teach that way. If it was a Greek, he wanted to teach to the Greek. He became all to all. He understood his ministry. He understood who his audience was. He wanted to be able to appeal to all. He was ministering to his people. Now, I don't think we'd have very much fun up here if Dan started coming up here and explained all the intricacies of electricity, how it gets from the source to the home. Now, DeWitt Patton would have joined, okay? Because they're, you know, both electrical people, so, you know, they'd understand. They certainly wouldn't enjoy if I started talking about how to feed a horse. Because the audiences are not right for that. But Paul put himself in a position to talk to his audience in the way that they would be able to understand. He was also in a Greek part of the country. So the Greeks understood also, when we look in verse 24, Paul says, "Do you not know that all run the race? Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Only one gets the prize." He understood that by talking about a race, the Greeks would understand and be able to understand what Paul was trying to say in regards to a race. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this correctly, but I think it was the Isthmian Games that were primarily going on. They happened every 2 to 3 years. I say that because the resources I looked at, they weren't consistent, whether it was 2 years or every 3 years. But that's not an important thing. They went into strict training. And what Paul is saying here is that because only one gets the prize, you run in such a way to get the prize. What Paul is saying here, you had to go into strict training to have an opportunity for the prize during this races. In other words, back in those days, the runners would take, it would be a 10-month ordeal, 10 months of training before the races occurred. And in these different races, there would only be one winner. One would get the prize. Now, we have to understand something here. The prize they went for is that our amateur athletes today in the racing field receive appearance fees, or they receive fees from the products that they're promoting. There was no financial benefit to these runners. The only thing they had a possibility of winning was an imperishable green wreath. In other words, that was their prize for the race. Now, Paul is saying that we should run for something that's perishable. I mean, they race for something that was perishable. We would race for something that's imperishable. And here's something I want you to understand. The games that were held back in those days, and the Olympic Games were being held every 4 years back in those days, the rules were sanctioned by whatever governing body was in charge. I want you to understand that your race with God, if you will, your race with God is sanctioned by God. It's not a race with God where the rules are made up as you go. You know everything that's expected of you because we have the written word. The written word is our regulation. The written word is the rules by which we live to run the race. Okay. I want you to understand something too. We're going to talk about training in just a second. But I want you to understand something in the race that Paul is calling us to. And he's calling us to train. In our Christian walk, training and the race is one and the same. Your training is the race. The race is the race. Now let me explain what I'm trying to say here. Let me give you an example. When I was 11 or 12 years old, my dad started letting me work cattle with him, which meant he started letting me ride with him when we rounded up cattle, worked the cattle the whole nine yards. One of the first lessons he taught me was how to gather cattle. We weren't big open range like in West Texas. You know, we had defined areas. We had pastures that were maybe 100 or 200 acres. We didn't have pastures that were a section. And so he taught me how to bring cattle up and bring them to the working pens. He taught me how to use the fence to drive the cattle. He taught me how not to crowd them. At the same time he was training me, we were actually doing it. You see what I'm saying here? As he was training me on how to bring cattle in, is to keep them as quiet as possible. You don't want to crowd them. Dan, have you learned that crowding cattle is not good? Okay. Dan's probably been run over once or twice already. Okay? But he taught us how not to crowd cattle. In other words, as he was training us, we were also actually doing it. The same thing is in the race with Christ, in our race with Christ. We're not only in the race, as we're in the race, we're also training. They're one and the same. These athletes train for 10 months for one race. We're training from the time we receive Jesus Christ until glorification. We're not only training, but we're in a race. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? It's one and the same. You can't say I'm practicing for the race because you are in the race as you practice. They're one and the same. You cannot separate them. Now there are times that you can you will study, but even in your studying, you're participating in the race. Because God is the one who sanctioned the race. He wants you, He desires for you, at the same time that you're training, that you're also demonstrating that training in all the action that you do. Now, we need to watch a couple of things here. In this race, we need to understand that you're not racing against one another. As soon as I were to say that I am ahead of whoever, I am judging that I am better than they. At the same time that you say I'm behind someone, you're doing the same thing. You're judging that person that they're better than you. Understand that your race is based on the principles of Jesus Christ, not in competition with. Now, I know this is going to produce a laugh, and some of you, it'd be a funny laugh. Some will say, how true. But if this church had the same personality as me, everybody, this would be a dull church. Would it not? It'd be dull. If we had a bunch of Ann Pierces tonight, this would be a dull. We would have things going on, but it'd be a dull church. It takes all of us to understand that we're in a race with God, and if we begin comparing one another in our races with one another, we're actually being gripped by Satan, who is putting doubt in your mind that you're growing in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you more than anything right now. Do not compare your race with someone else. When you do, I promise you, you'll be taking steps backwards. There is no comparison. Do not compare your race with your spouse, your brother, your sister, your best friend, someone who's older, someone who's younger, or older or younger, someone who is ordained, someone who's not ordained. It doesn't matter. Don't compare yourself. Because each one of us, by running our own race together, as we come together as a body of believers, guess what? We have a whole lot of strength. We have the ability to facilitate and exercise ministries. I am not musically inclined. I can listen to my iPod, and that's about the only thing I can do, and I don't always get it turned on right the first time. But there's some in here that can lead musically, and music is a very, very valuable asset to explaining and illustrating God's Word. Some are teachers, some are not teachers. Some are helpers, some are not helpers. But by us all doing the things that God called us to do in our individual races with God, we as a group, as a ministry, as a body of believers, can move forward with God's Word. Okay? So we can't do a comparison. Another thing you can't do is you cannot sit on the sidelines. God has called you into the race when you received Jesus Christ. You became a part of the race. You don't have an option not to be in the race if Jesus Christ is in your heart. You can't sit on the sidelines. And we ask, I believe this is correct, we ask our church members to participate in four things only to be an active member. This is just something that the session has sent forth years ago. One is to attend Sunday school. Two is to attend worship. Three is to be a part of a community group. And four is to be a part of a ministry within Westminster. And then Maybe number five, even though it's not written, being part of a ministry outside of Westminster. Now, some of you are doing more than that in your jobs. I know you college students, each professor thinks that the class you're taking with that professor, that is the only class that you're taking. Because they will cram the work to you. Don't you, Bob? Yeah, so Bob's a math, he'll tell you. So you understand that you can't sit on the sidelines. This is an active race participation. That you participate, you mentor someone, someone mentors you, you help someone. When VBS starts up in the spring and get ready for this summer and they call for volunteers, don't sit on your hands. It's time to go to work. If we need Sunday school assistants, volunteer. If we need nursery assistants, the phone should be ringing off at Kirsten's. She'll want to turn it off. There's so many calls because someone wants the help. We all have the ability to assist and minister to people at Westminster, but we have to be in the race. That's part of the race. Training. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. This is Paul speaking. It says, therefore, understand when you see the word therefore, but, as, for, if. You probably need to go back and read the preceding verses or two to move forward. But it says, talking about the race, strict training, Paul says this, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Everything he does has a purpose. He is not going through the training or through the race just to be doing it. He's doing it for a purposeful reason. He's doing it to win souls for Jesus Christ. He is doing what he believes he's called to do, and that's to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, teaching and preaching the Word of God, having converts, planting new churches, not only planting new churches, but encouraging them, praying for them, setting up leaders to lead that church in his absence, or bringing leaders with him who will stay behind during his missionary travels to set up these churches. Paul is saying that when you're part of a Bible study or community group or a Sunday school class or worship or part of a ministry train, be active in it. Be participant. Participate, okay? Be a part of it. Don't let your age, young or age challenged, you can be age challenged on the lower end too, okay? Don't let that stop you from saying, I can't do it. God is wanting us to go to the finish line, not haphazardly, but purposefully. He wants us to run the race as to win the prize. Now, I need to share something with you right quick, and then I'm going to try to close this up. Satan, even when you're running your race with God, there are times when Satan sneaks in. Even though you're running this race and you think you're doing what God wants you to do, Satan can slip in and cause you to get off kilter a little bit, even though he's still making it look good. Let me explain. The only examples I can give you are personal examples. Most of you know by an email of a few weeks ago on the prayer chain, is that my business has not been doing very well. Don't want to go into details, but here's what happened. Satan got me off kilter. Now, I can tell you, as soon as I'm standing up here and I'm in whatever color shirt I'm in, I can tell you that every time I thought about the store, I immediately started thinking about God and what He's provided for me. I lived in Psalm 105:4. Look to the Lord, His strength, seek His face always. I said that verse over and over and over again. I kept saying Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I kept looking to God. I didn't want to dwell upon the problem. I wanted to look for God. But here's where God tricked me. Or not God, Satan tricked me. It became a me problem. I began to fail to pray for the people that I had been praying for on a regular basis. I didn't pray for the Comans as daily as I was. I wasn't praying for Teresa and Mike. Teresa and Eric, because I have a sister named Teresa, so anyway. Teresa and Eric regularly. I wasn't praying for a friend of mine regularly who had tongue cancer and is going through a tough time right now. I wasn't praying for my brother-in-law who was on a mission trip to Kenya. I had failed. See what happened? Satan will cause you to look at yourself and not let you look at the race, and you become funnel visioned. Even when you're running your race and you have needs in your own life, don't let Satan take that away and let that be the emphasis, and you fail to have the interaction with God's people. Does that make any sense at all? God wants you to participate in a way that's glorifying to Him. And when I failed, even though my mind was constantly on God and His Word, in those circumstances, I can tell you, Satan took away my desire to pray for the people who I had been praying for. Satan is cunning. We have to understand, you have the Word that can give a knockout to Satan. It's the Word of God. Now, we had in the musical meditation the fruit of the Spirit. As you run your race, I want you to look. You don't look at it now. Look at it some other time. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Before you begin your race, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which one of those before you ran the race you had 100% control of? Now that you begin your race with God, which of this fruit of the Spirit you have got a little bit better hold of? You haven't conquered it. When you say you conquered it, I'm going to send you to Pastor Wade, okay? But which one, can you see through your race that the fruit of the Spirit is now becoming more real to you? Did you see how your love is increased? Your joy? The peace? I used to not be patient. I was terrible. I haven't conquered it because I don't want to go see Wade. But I have it under better control. If you don't believe me, you have to ask Sandy, but she won't be here for a couple of days. But anyway. Now, we're going to hit one last thing and we're going to wrap it up. We have not talked about the prize. We have a prize that is waiting for each one of us. And I need my Bible one more time. And we're looking at this. Paul is writing this in the first person in the Corinthian passage. And we need to be encouraged that this word, this prize, is for all of us. And Paul writes, in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Now there is in store for me," Paul's talking, "the crown of righteousness, righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Now listen to this, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul is saying that he is going for the prize. He's kept his eye on the prize. And he's saying because he has kept his eyes on the prize, he is encouraging us to keep the eye on the prize. What is the prize? If you don't know what the prize is, and you have Jesus Christ in your heart, what I want you to do is I need for you to talk to one of the pastors. And I would ask him to stand up, but one's got a sleepy boy in his hand. So let me ask John and Ben to stand up. Now, all the elders that are here, please stand up. All the deacons that are here, please stand up. If you have a question on what the prize is, and you're not really sure in your gut you know what that prize is, though you have received Jesus Christ, go see one of these men after the service. They would be glad to explain to you what that prize is. For me to tell you the prize would not be, oh yeah, sure I understood that. But sometimes you might need it nailed down a little more firmly. So I ask you to go visit with one of the pastors, one of the elders, one of the deacons. Because this morning we're going to come before and take this table. Participate in the table. Okay? We're going to participate. In the training for the races, you have to understand an athlete sacrifices a whole lot to be able to participate in the race. Jesus has sacrificed himself for the race that we run. And we can come this morning and commune with the living Jesus Christ. We can come because he has gained victory for us. The victory is not obtained by us. The victory is obtained and has been obtained by Jesus Christ. And so we can come and commune together this morning because of what Christ has done and not what we've done. His obedience to the cross allows us to have communion with one another. And to come and commune this morning together. So if you have a question about the prize, please talk to one of these men. And understand that the race is for anyone and everyone who has received Jesus Christ. And there's no sideline participation. You're in the game. And I'd encourage you to be in a position to understand your game more by Sunday school, worship, community group, being a part of a mission, ministry team here, or even having an outside ministry. The race will be run, and is continually to be run. Let's pray. Father, we delight in what you have for us. We delight, Father, that you teach us continually what you have placed before us in your word. Father, these words on this page is for our benefit and for our good in your glory. And I pray, Father, that as we go along in this race, as we run this race, we run it in a manner to win the prize. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to encourage us, continue to demonstrate your patience with us, that we would persevere and gain the knowledge. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have your word that is never changing and a word that we can depend on and trust and know that it's true. Bless this time we've had this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.